Beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you. We continue our solemn outline study of the book of the Revelation, for we have approached that portion of the book which speaks of judgment, which is to be poured out upon the whole world. Our lesson number 5 comes before us today, considering chapter 7 and chapter 8. We have in this parenthetical section the revelation of a seal company and also the visitation of the greater judgments that are yet to be poured out upon the world, greater than that which we have seen. But it is necessary to note there is a parenthesis between the 6th and the 7th seals, as well as another between the 6th and the 7th trumpets, and you have the same relative to the 6th and 7th vials. But before the 7th seal is opened, God draws aside the veil to reveal that a work of grace will still continue upon the earth, even in those days of fearful judgment. And first of all, we have in the first 8 verses, which we particularly speak of briefly, we have the sealing of the people of Israel, which tell of 144,000 sealed out of the tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe. Now this company of 12,000 is distinctly separate from the company, the great company at the end of the chapter, which refers to the Gentiles. But no matter what false interpretation may be proffered, and sometimes it is evident from the context of this scripture that the company of people here is plainly a Jewish one. The number 144,000 is not necessarily the precise figure, but it is a perfect symbolic representation that God has or will appropriate for himself a certain number of Israel to be in the millennial kingdom of his great son. And this 12,000 from each tribe speaks of the separation of those in Israel who will be his dear godly remnant. But in chapter 7, verse 9 through 17, we find the result of the testimony of that godly remnant in the world. For God's grace will not be limited to the narrow confines of even Judaism. For the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom during that period of the great tribulation will be used for the conversion of many Gentiles too. The beloved apostles' eyes are open to see a vast multitude of people from every nationality and race who find salvation through faith in the finished work of Christ. From this great multitude, a song, yea, great songs of victory swell into a mighty crescendo. They ascribe salvation to God and to the Lamb, for the Almighty God will be their deliverer from earth's persecutions and heaven's judgments. And they readily acknowledge his saving grace. And all will prostrate themselves before his throne as you read the sevenfold description of praise, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now as you read this chapter 7, you find John beholding with awe this inspiring scene, which an elder explains is the redeemed multitude coming out of the great tribulation. Though sin will be rampant and the man of sin will be revealed, there will be those who find salvation having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And in the day of their glory, their suffering will be over. Hunger and thirst will never be known again. The scorching rays of the sun will never touch them. For the Lamb will lead them to the fountains of water of life, and under his shepherding hand, the promises of a material and an earthly character will be fulfilled as he leads them into the glory of his future reign. How great then is the grace of God in the midst of that time which is yet to come, a time which is described by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:21, when he said, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." This is the parenthetical section of God's mercy which will reveal that during those judgments, yet His saving grace will be known. Now as we come to the opening of chapter 8, we have the seventh seal and the seven angels revealed. For immediately upon opening the seventh seal, there is silence in heaven lasting for the space of half an hour. John beholds the seven angels standing before God. They have seven trumpets given to them. The silence unquestionably could refer to that calm preceding the storm of judgment, which is yet to break upon the world in greater intensity. It is worthy of notice that each successive seal and trumpet and vile judgment increase in intensity as the revelation unfolds. First of all, you have in verses 3 to 5 the vision of the angel priest, for before the trumpets sound, before their message of impending wrath comes, there appears at the altar another angel with a golden censer. He carries that golden censer for the purpose of taking fire from the brazen altar to the golden altar of incense. The angel assumes the character of a high priest. To the prayers of the saints, he adds his own efficacious authority to their supplications unto God before the throne. We can only think of one person being this, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest of his people, officiates before the throne of God in heaven. For it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that even the believer today has any access to the throne of God above. In that coming day of judgment, the prayers of the saints for vengeance will be answered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Fire from the altar comes, the instrument becomes the instrument of judgment. He pours it out upon the earth. Immediately it is followed by thunder, voices, lightning, and an earthquake, expressive symbols of coming catastrophe. Note the first trumpet judgment in verse 7. You have in the book of Exodus the seventh plague upon Egypt. It took the form of thunder, hail, and fire. The first trumpet sounds, and a similar judgment of hail and fire mingled with blood is inflicted upon the earth. Hail is a type of merciless, devastating judgment. Fire, the reminder of the fierceness and the consuming wrath of God. Blood is apparently suggestive of the death, many deaths, and if applied to the spiritual realm, it implies the cessation of spiritual life and complete apostasy from God upon the earth. But the extensiveness of the vengeance, note carefully, it covers a third of the whole race, from princes to beggars, whether the fraction is intended to be taken literally or not. The widespread character of the judgment is apparent. The second trumpet judgment follows. A burning mountain is cast into the sea, resulting blood and death and destruction. In typology, a mountain is usually representative of a kingdom, some established power. And the sea is expressive of the restless nations of the earth. Is it not probable the downfall of some mighty nation and kingdom is depicted in the events following the blast of this second trumpet? Verses 10 and 11, the third trumpet judgment, a great burning star falls from heaven upon a third of the waters. It communicates poison, causing death and making the waters bitter. The star is usually representative of some powerful ruler or dignitary. The possibility of some apostate leader in a future day who will be an instrument of wrath through the hands of the Almighty by his evil influence and probable corrupt teaching, poisoning the morals, the principles, and the motives of men over a great sphere, and the result will be spiritual death of countless numbers. But let us not fail to realize that though the precise details have not been furnished by the Holy Spirit, yet in a future day when these events are fulfilled, God's people will be in a position to discern very clearly what they mean. The fourth trumpet judgment sounds, which is the last one, and one of the most terrible plagues in Egypt occurred, which was the plague of darkness long ago. But at the sound of the fourth trumpet, A third of the sun, the moon, the stars are robbed of their light. To be in darkness or deprived of any part of light is a trial not fully appreciated by those who never have experienced it. The sun is figurative of supreme authority. The moon and the stars of lesser authorities. One scholar would suggest that if there may be a mighty political convulsion in the world, in which all authority is subverted, from the rulers of the empire to the petty magistrate of the town, it is the success of atheistic anarchy and communism. Is it not true that in the past, certain ideologies have aimed at the abolishing of divine authority and the destruction of all law and order? And the events that follow the fourth trumpet show how successful such attempts will be in the future day. Beloved, can I say, can I but humbly and plainly suggest, do you not find even today rebellion against authority? I defy you to find it missing from the highest authority in the land to even authority in the home. My beloved, the spirit of rebellion against authority is filling the world. How terrible it is yet to be when it consummates, when all rule and order and authority will be destroyed for the effect upon a world already sorely stricken. It can scarcely be imagined. Now, beloved, again, we speak very bluntly. We're taking these outlines very quickly, we know. But we have one motive to remind you. This book of the Revelation is a description of judgment. It is a book of divine judgment. And may I bluntly say, let me quote the words of the psalmist in chapter 9 of the Psalm and verse 17, when the psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." My beloved, there's a lot of material that God has to deal with. Wicked and nations who are forgetting God. My beloved unsaved friend, come to the Savior rather than go to hell. Father, bless thy word, not only to the instruction of thy people, the saints, but of the salvation of sinners in Jesus' name and for his glory, we would pray it. Amen.